Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation of Mount the 12th Hour in Elgin, Texas. Today is January 27th, 2023, or it is the 16th day of Shabbat 2027. We will start our second service on this Saturday. Beautiful garden of prayer. There's a garden where Yeshua is waiting. There's a place that is wondrously fair. For it glows with the light of His person. It's a beautiful garden of prayer. What a beautiful garden. The garden of prayer, oh, the beautiful garden of prayer. And my Savior reigns, and He opens the gate. See the beautiful garden of prayer. The garden where Yeshua is waiting, and I go with my burden and care, just to learn from His lips words of comfort, in a beautiful garden of prayer, a beautiful garden, the garden of prayer. What a beautiful garden of prayer. And my Savior of ways, He opens the gate in a beautiful garden of prayer. In a garden where Yeshua is waiting, and He bids you to come meet Him there. Just to bow and receive all His blessings in the beautiful garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden, the garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden of prayer. My Savior always, and He opens the gate to the beautiful garden of prayer. Then and then we'll just go right on in to we've had a prayer, and we're going to go right into our sermon. Our sermon is going to be taken from Patriarchs and Prophets. Now, this is going to be chapter 4. It's going to be taken by, the name of it is The Plan of Redemption. That's the name of our sermon today. We're going to have our prayer thought taken from Matthew 24. And we're going to start at verse 42 and read the five verses there. It says, watch therefore. Okay, it says, let's start at verse 40. Then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. Okay. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken and the other left. 42. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Master, Yeshua, your Savior, your Redeemer, doth come. And it says, watch. Okay, so our key word for our prayer thought is watchman. Watchman on the walls of Zion. You can go to Matthew 30, yeah, and read about that. Watch therefore, for you know not what our Savior Yeshua does come. But know this, that if the good man of the house, that's the prophet now that has been pointed over the candlestick of Israel to render the fruits in their season. You know what a candlestick is in the sanctuary? It has 7 lamps of burning. And the priest in an ancient time had to keep the olive oil beaten. They had to keep those lamp vessels full of oil. The light was never to go out in the sanctuary, showing a continual, perpetual flow of present truth, continually flowing like a river to the sea. And with present truth every day. Okay. Where it says, but know this, that if the good man of the house had known and what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. On a new moon Sabbath at Kearney, Texas, Brother Johnson, holding a 2 o'clock meeting at the church, he had gone home from his first meeting that he had that morning, his 9 o'clock meeting. After that was over, he went home. But he got careless. He got to where he didn't lock his house up anymore. On the Sabbath. He would lock it up any other time. But he got where he wouldn't lock his house. But he had a man that lived across the street, a Mexican fellow, that he employed helping do all jobs around his property. And this man, this Mexican man, would come and mow his grass for him and so forth. So one day this Mexican man was watching the Lord of Johnson as he was leaving his house. He noticed he didn't lock his house. Well, he knew that he didn't lock his house. Because Brother Johnson came home one day and found that man in his house, crawling around his house. He was looking for money. And he run him off. He said, "Don't you ever come back to this property again." So Lord Mayor says, "He owes us a lawn mowing job. I'm going to get him back over here." So she went and got him and said, "You owe us a lawn mowing job." So she hauled him back. So the Mexican man saw Rhoda Johnson one day and his wife leave the house at 2 o'clock on a new moon Sabbath. And he, as soon as Rhoda Johnson got gone, he knew he stayed gone at least 2 or 3 or 4 hours. So he went in and invaded his house, and he found about $6,000 cash money. And so he took it, stole it, went and bought a pickup truck with it, and did this and that with it. So Brother Johnson didn't know if this thief was watching him. And he didn't think about that man that he employed was gonna request for him to leave his house unlocked and leave the property. And so the thief came and robbed him, and that's the story. So it says, but know this, that if a good man, the prophet of the house, had known and what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken in. So what would he have done? The first thing he had done, he'd have locked his house when he left it. And he had a very strong habit for many years of locking every time him and his wife left the property for anything, they'd lock their house. And all of a sudden they got killed. Oh, you don't have to lock the house on this holy day. We just come and go to church and talk. We don't have to lock our house. Well, that's what happened. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Ooh. And now as you think not. But you know what? Adventists and the Shepherd God, the Davidians, they only learn how to count to 11. And Yahshua says in Matthew 11:9, I believe. It says, John 11:9. It says are there not 12 hours a day? Told the disciples. He says, work while you have the light. He says, you have light for 12 hours. And so the Johnson, Gilead Center, the Shepherd's Rod, the Rodens, and the Beachy Hollow, they could only count to 11. They didn't believe Yahshua when he said, are there not 12 hours a day? Work while you have the light. So, the Son of Man is, he's predestined to come back to this earth at the last hour. Let's say the last hour. The last hour is the 12th hour. So, if your watchman on the walls of Zion don't know how to read the time clock on the wall, how is he going to watch for you? How is he going to faithfully watch for you? Well, number one, he's going to make the 11th hour the last hour, and all the prophecies that are to fulfill in the 12th hour, he's going to try to make them fulfill in the 11th hour. That's exactly what happened down at Carmel, and that's what exactly happened with Beachy Hollow, and that's what happened with the Seventh-day Adventists. Sister Barbara was told that Adventists had the commission to restore the sanctuary and put it back into its rightful order. So what would happen if Ellen G. White had gone to study the sanctuary system of Moses, how it operated on a 12-hour basis? What would have happened if she had done that? She went back and studied the law of Moses. She said she found that there was a place called a sanctuary and it had laws and services. And those laws and services were to be restored. But Ellen G. wasn't. That's all the further she went. So, here comes Beachy Hall of 1930. Well, we got to restore the law of Moses, the law of Satan. But we won't keep the feast day till we get the land. So that nullified the daily. Don't keep it either. So he didn't restore the sanctuary. Because if he'd have gone back to the law of Moses, he'd have found out that was a 12-hour period. That was a 12-hour period. And that we'd have had and the Theodolphus strongly preaching that we were in the 11th hour. That the 11th hour struck in 1930, Jesus, we are in the last and 11th hour. Well, he was preaching contrary to the Bible. That's it. So there's 12 hours of that, not 11. So Ben Rubin takes over from Beach Hall of 55-60, and he commissioned Reese in 1970, and all he could find was 11 hours on the periodic time clock. Then Brother Johnson comes along in 1970. He published a crazy journal, and he found it. Oh, my goodness. Here's B.T. Hollis' parabolic time clock. Here's his 24-hour time clock. Well, it's got 12 hours in the daylight, and it's got 12 hours in the night. Well, it's got 4 3-hour watches here in the night. And the 4 3-hour watches, 3, 6, 9, 12 hours for the night. He said, oh my goodness, he's got 12 hours in the daylight showing here on his clock. But yet, Rose Johnson said, well, there's still only 11 hours, though, even though it shows 12. None is so blind as those who will not see. So that's the kind of watchman we had on the wall designed for the Seventh-day Adventist from 1844 to 2003. We had watchmen that didn't know how to read the periodic time clock. They didn't know how to count to 12. They didn't know how to count to 12. And when they did count to 12, they started with 12. By the time they got through counting 12 hours, they were 1 hour over into the next day. Okay. I feel like I need to say that. That's important to say that. That's important for our people in Africa to know this. Get off of that teaching of this 11th hour. I don't teach it. B.T. Hollis charted up to his dying day. And anyway, Brother Johnson charted up to his dying day. They all charted up to their dying day, and they was all disappointed because they were completely lost out in left field. They didn't have no idea where they were at in the stream of time. They couldn't give you an interpretation. B.T. Hollis tried to. He says, first time for 144,000 to come forth, 1950. So he wrote a tract and sent the Adventists. He says, come in, it's time for 144,000 to come and join the house of the Davidians. That's the one I'm in charge of. It's time for it. Well, nobody showed up. 144,000 didn't show up. B.T. Hollis died 5 years later, a disillusioned man. All right. So now it says right here in Matthew 24, it says verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant? Whom his master hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season. Okay. That says, blessed is that servant. Now that servant is a personal, specific person. It's a preordained single individual whom his master, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily, I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. Okay. So he's going to make that one that's watching, going to make him ruler over all of his goods. Now, let's go to Revelation 2:26. It's taking me a little bit to get there. that this big lettered Bible, Revelation 2:26, it says that and he that overcometh and keepeth my work unto the end. Now here's the end. Unto the end. It's not at the end of the end, but it's at the beginning of the end. He that keepeth my works now, the first 11 hours of the day, he that faithfully keep my work the first 11 hours, he says, he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Okay. Okay, overcometh. John, 1 John 2:13. He says, I write unto you fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you little children, because you have known the Father. Now he's talking to those that had come to the Pentecost, got the outpouring of the Holy Spirit back 2,000 years ago. This is who John is talking to. Those that have been purified by overcoming. He's talking to them. He said, verse 14 of 1 John 2. I have written unto you fathers because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you young men because you are strong and the word of Yahweh abideth in you. And you have overcome the wicked one. Alright, it says that. 1 John 4:4, you are of Yahweh, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 5:4, for whosoever is born of the Yahweh, overcometh the world, and this is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Our faith in what? Our faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua. That's what your faith is in. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that the Yahshua is the Son of the Father Yahweh, of his Father Yahweh? And you'll find that in John 3:15-18. You'll find the evidence of that there. Revelation 2:7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Unto him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of the Yahweh. Okay. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Unto him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Revelation 3:12, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my Yahweh, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my Father Yahweh, and the name of the city of my Father Yahweh, which to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Yahshua is talking here. the Son, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in His throne. Okay. Revelation 11:7. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. Revelation 13:7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and he overcame them, and power was given him over all the kindreds and tongues and nations. This was the Catholic Church during the Dark Ages, from 538 to 1798. That's where this prophecy took place. Revelation 17:14. He shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the sovereign of sovereigns and king of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Let's read that again. He shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is a Lord of lords. He is a and king of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Revelation 21:7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. Okay. And I will be his Yahweh, and he shall be my son. Now we need to pay close attention, because I believe this is written in red, and this is Yahshua talking. So now, in Revelation 21, I'm going to read it, 21:7. It says that, okay, let's read Revelation 17:14. They shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the sovereign of sovereigns and king of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Now this is 144,000 that is the called, chosen, and faithful. And they come out of the Adventist Church. So the Adventist Church is going to be around right up to the very time that the 144,000 shows up with the Yahshua in person on Mount Zion in the land of Israel, here in the 12th parabolic hour. Okay. So it says in Revelation 21:7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his Yahweh, and he shall be my son. Alright, now what does it say in John, St. John 1:12? If I get fit real quick, I would read that. Yeah, it says that. John 1:12. It says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of Yahweh, even unto them that believe on his name. Okay, now what does that say? John 1:12. But as many as received him. Let's read verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. This is talking about Yahshua was talking here. But as many as received him, Yahshua the Son, unto them gave he power. Okay. So Yahshua was able to give him them power. Those that believed on him, he was able to in turn give them people power to become the sons of the Father, just like he is, just like Yahshua is. even unto them that believe on his name. Even those that just believe on his name. He says, I'll give you power to become the sons of Yahweh, even unto them that believe on his name. Okay. So you want to have the power to inherit all things and to be called a son of Yahweh, do the will of the Father, and you're going to inherit all things. Okay. So it says, and Romans, it says in Romans 3:4, Yahweh forbid, yea, that Yahweh be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy saying, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Romans 12:21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with the good. 2 Peter 2:19. While they promise him liberty, they themselves are the servants of the corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in to bondage. So you got that? For of whom a man is overcome. So if you have somebody that has overcome you, has lied to you and told you a lie, and short-circuited your spirit, and split your kingdom down the middle, then that same person has the rule over you. You allow it to happen, you believe the lie he told you, then he took the rule. What happened to Eve in the Garden of Eden? What happened to her? She believed the lie. And we just read it yesterday in our sermon. And because of her believing Lucifer, now Lucifer is got the authority over her. Yahweh no longer has the authority over her. Lucifer now has the authority over Adam and Eve. So he overcame them, and so he took authority over them. If you have somebody come in your home and says, I don't believe you're a true prophet. I believe that you're self-exalted. And that happened right here with me. I believe that you're, that you just got a lot of eye trouble. That you just try to find places that fit yourself in and so forth. I believe that you're self-exalted. I don't believe you have any inspiration. Somebody believed that lie. And all of a sudden, our kingdom is split down the middle. And so, I called upon Yahweh and asked him what the problem was, and he showed it to me. And I set about correcting it. And got it corrected. Okay. So it says, 2 Peter 2:20, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the King and Savior Yahshua, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them from the beginning. So it says right here, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the King and Savior Yahshua, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Now, having read that, let's just go to Galatians chapter 3 and read about a very thing like that happening to those Galatian Gentiles. Let's go read about those Galatian Gentiles. They're in Galatians chapter 3. We're going to now read Galatians chapter 3. Paul had the same experience with the Gentile Galatians. He says, O foolish Galatians, he says, verse 1, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, What does it mean, obey the truth? I thought that it was supposed to be believe the truth. Well, that's one of it. But how about obeying the truth? How do you obey the truth? Well, all you got to do is look at verse 19 of Galatians chapter 3. And it says, wherefore then serveth the law? That's the sanctuary law or the feast days of the, it was added because of the transgressions of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. The two transgressions, they both sinned on the same day till the seed should come unto whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. So now he's asking the question, wherefore are you supposed to serve the law? Well, it was the sacrificial law was added because of transgression. So here they're going to, Paul is going to these Galatians, this old foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes the Yeshua hath been evidently set forth crucified among you. This only would I learn of you, received you the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of the faith in the blood of the new covenant of the Yeshua. Now, which one is it? Verse 3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Okay. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, in the new covenant, with the blood of the covenant of Yeshua? Hebrews chapter 10, the new and living way. You was taught the new and living way. And besides, now you Galatian Gentiles, you are brethren, because your forefather that you're descended from is Japheth, the third son of Noah. And Noah was a Hebrew. And Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Shem was the progenitor of the righteous line of the Hebrews. Japheth, his younger brother, the third son of Noah, he was the father of the Gentile nations. Now Japheth and Shem are brothers, and they're Hebrews. They're Jews. One's the father of the Jewish nation, and the other is the father of the Gentile nation. So now, Paul knows this when he goes to these Galatians. He says, this is who you are. And Jacob, the father of the Gentile nations, is found in Genesis chapter 10. Okay? And are you so foolish? He's asking these Galatians. Having begun in the Spirit? So now, what do you mean in the Spirit? Romans chapter 8, it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Yeshua hath made me free from the law of sin and death. See, for the law of the Spirit. Okay. So the Spirit has a law. Are you so now made that perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? Boy, those Galatians, they really suffered from those Jews in Jerusalem that rejected Yeshua. Whenever they accepted the plan of the salvation of Yeshua from the disciples, those old Jews in Jerusalem followed them around and said, well, if you're going to accept that and believe that religion, you're going to have to be circumcised, and you're going to have all this done to you, or it's not going to do you no good. Okay. Verse 5. He therefore that ministereth unto you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of the faith and the blood of the new and living way of the Yahshua? Hebrews 10:19-20. Verse 6. Even as Abraham believed Yahweh, and it was accounted unto him for the righteousness. Verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of the faith and the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, Hebrews 10:19-20, the new and living way, the same are the children of the Abraham. And the scriptures foreseeing that Yahweh would justify the heathen through the faith and the blood of his son Yahshua, preached before the plan of the salvation of the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. So then, they which be of the faith and the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, Hebrews 10:19-20, of the new and living way, are blessed with the faithful Abraham. You want the same blessings that was given to Abraham? Well then, lay a hold of this everlasting covenant that he laid a hold of, and receive the blessing. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Okay, it says, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all of the things which are written, or that which that is written. When you put the pronoun that in the place of which, then you put a present tense verb, that is written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law and the sight of Yahweh, it is evident, for the just shall live by the faith in the blood of the Yahshua. Now let's, right at this prayer point, let us go to Romans now, chapter 5, verse 9 to 11. That's where we get right there. It says that, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled unto Yahweh the Father by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled is a past tense adverb, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in Yahweh through our Savior Yahshua, by whom we have now received the atonement. You cannot receive the atonement on the 10th day of the 7th month if you haven't been washed in the blood of Yahshua at the Passover and come through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the Pentecost, which the record is made in heaven. If you were sanctified at the Passover by the blood, by the Passover supper, then you're sanctified by the Pentecost that comes 7 weeks later, and then several more months later at the atonement on the 10th day of the 7th month, then you get your sins blotted out. And Yahshua is there to represent your name before the Father, because it is his blood that allowed your sins to be blotted out. That's how you receive the atonement by Yahshua. Okay. Now let's go back to Galatians chapter 3. He said, and the law is not of the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant. No, the law is not of the faith in that blood. But the man that doeth them, that walks in those statutes, he shall live in them. Okay. For Yahshua has redeemed us by his blood from the curse of the law, being made as a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of the Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Yahshua. Okay, let's do that again. That the blessing of the Abraham might come on our kinsmen, our blood relatives, the Gentiles, through the Yahshua, the Son, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through the faith and the blood of the Yahshua. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now unto Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and unto thy seed, which is Yahshua. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of the Father Yahweh and his Son Yahshua, with the law, that was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of the promise. Verily Yahweh gave it unto the Abraham by the promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? Why do we have to serve the law of the sanctuary today? Why do we have to keep these feast days, the new moon, the annual, the monthly feast days, holy days, Sabbath days, that you find the law for it in Leviticus 23:24. Okay, so wherefore then serveth this law? It was added because of the transgressions of the Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, until the seed should come unto whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Okay. What seed is it talking about? The seed of Eve. Let's go to Genesis 3:15. And let's read about that. Let's read about that, Genesis 3:15. It says that, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now this seed of the woman will go back now to Ephesians 2:15, and let's read a little bit there. It says that having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. So the seed came Ezekiel and Yahshua was born of the house of David. He was that seed, and he's the one that put enmity between the seed of the woman at the cross, and he destroyed the enmity. Enmity means he destroyed the antagonism. The hatred that was between the two classes of people. And that was the seed of Eve, her seed, and her non-seed. There was an enmity there until Yahshua destroyed it by his death on the cross. And so he says, now you can keep the new and living way by just believing in my faith in my blood. Because I'm the high priest now in the heavenly sanctuary. I receive your prayers on earth here in the heavenly sanctuary in heaven. And I go before the Father and minister your prayers with my blood. And I take care of the priesthood and all your sacrificing and everything right here. All you got to do is just by faith come and kneel down and ask for whatever your petition is. And I will grant it. If you need forgiveness of sins, I got my blood to make remission for you right here in heaven. All you gotta do is just meet on the holy days and perform your vows and pay your dues. Because he said the sacrificing of the works of the law of killing an animal is over with. Okay. So now it says in Galatians chapter 3, it says, verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentile seed of Yahshua, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through the faith in the blood of Yahshua. Okay. Let's look at Acts 2:33. Let's see what that tells us. Acts 2:33. Okay, it says, therefore being by the right hand of Yahweh exalted and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has set forth this, which you now see and hear. Okay. Acts 2:34, for David is not ascended into the heaven, but he saith himself, Yahshua saith unto Yahweh the Father saith unto my Yahshua, his son, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Okay. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that Yahweh hath made that same Yahshua whom you have crucified both King and Messiah, his son. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and unto the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of the Son Yahshua for the remission of the sins that you committed by assisting the crucifying him on the cross. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What a testimony. Those that participated in hanging him on the cross, now they're confronted with the real truth, what they had done, and when they realized what they had done, they asked, well, what can we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. And they did. And they got remission of sins. Can you imagine? They were once murderers of Yahshua, classified. And now they are classified with the saints. Because they had repented. For the promise is unto you and unto your children and unto all that are afar off, even as many as Yeshua, our Savior, shall call. Okay. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. And they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now, folks, you're going to have the outpouring of the Pentecostal power before we can duplicate that today. So we got to sanctify ourselves now. And so when we come to the Passover, we got to get washed in the blood of Yeshua at the Passover. I'm talking about this next Passover that's coming up here in just a few months. And then we got to do the Pentecost. We got to get the outpouring of the Holy Spirit if it's due this year. And we better be ready for it. And then he'll heal us and bind us up. And then we can go out that very day. And we can get thousands of converts that are waiting to come out. This is what it's all about, folks. Today. This is what our commission is. Okay. So it says, verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayer. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them unto all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meal with a gladness and singleness of heart, praising Yahweh and having favor with all the people. And Yeshua added unto the church daily such as should be said. Now this is what we're looking at today, folks. Our future antitypical Passover and Pentecost and Atonement is on a certain year. If it's not this coming year of 2024, then prepare for it every day as if the next Passover will be it. This is where we got to do right now. We got to sanctify ourselves. And we got to be free of all sin and everything in our lives. So we can be able to get this temple set up and have it ready for those that are at hand to come, because it's going to take the Pentecostal power to start bringing them. So we can go out today and plant the seed and make the contact. Okay? So we're going to be preparing literature with this same kind of information for the very future right now. Okay, in Galatians chapter 3, it says, verse 20, now our mediator, is not a mediator of one, but Yahweh is one. So it means that Yahweh is not your mediator, his son is your mediator, Yeshua. Is the law then against the promises of Yahweh? Yahweh forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. Okay. That's the reason why they say the Ten Commandments law. It condemns you, but it provides no remedy, because there's no blood mentioned in the Ten Commandment law. But if you don't sin, then forget about the ceremonial law. You can keep the Ten Commandment law, as long as you don't sin. But you got to get your sins blotted out, repent, blot out, and stop sinning, and then you can keep the Ten Commandments of the law. But you still have to keep the feast day and come up and make your offerings and so forth at those appointed times. And if you have, but you always offer up offerings for sin in case you've had presumptuous, cultivated, natural, or inherited sin that you wasn't aware of that you had committed. You want to cover those. Your secret thoughts that's talked about in Psalms 19, you want to cover all that with a blood offering. Whether you sin or not. Because just living in this flesh, as long as we're in this flesh, we're going to be subject to commit sin. That's the reason why John said there in the epistles of John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with Yahshua the righteous. They said, now, you're free from sin. You just come through the Pentecost. You're free from sin. But let my little children don't sin no more. But if you do sin, at least you have an advocate, because you don't want to sin that you're not aware of. But David did. David did. Okay. And David told about it in Psalm 19. But the scriptures, verse 22, Galatians chapter 3, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin. Let's change that word under also. Let's use another word, preposition. But the scriptures hath concluded all are with sin. Okay. So when you use that preposition with, then you put word the. But the scripture hath concluded all are with this sin. What sin? The sin of Adam and Eve. Okay. If you need any more than that, you can go read about it. I think it's in Romans chapter 5. So, but the scriptures have concluded all are with the sin of the Adam and Eve, that the promise by the faith in the blood of Yahshua might be given unto them that believe. That believe in the Father, Yahweh, being this Father of Yahshua, and the plan of salvation that they both have put together with the sanctuary system and the blood offering. But before faith in the blood of the Yahshua came, we were kept under the law. Let's do this again. But before faith in the blood of the Yahshua came, we were kept within the framework of the law of the old covenant. Shut up unto the faith that is to come in the time of the new covenant of the New Testament, after Yahshua's crucifixion, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law is our schoolmaster. Now they put that past tense adverb was, it don't belong there. If the law was their schoolmaster in the Old Testament to bring them under Yahshua, then that same law is our schoolmaster today to bring us under Yahshua. Wherefore the law is our schoolmaster for the bringing us into the blood of the Yahshua, that we might be justified by the faith in his blood. And again, you go to Romans chapter 5, and you'll find that evidence, 9 to 11. Verse 25 of Galatians 3. But after that faith in the blood of the Yahshua is come, we are no longer under a we are no longer under the schoolmaster that brought them under Yeshua and the old covenant. For ye are all the children of the Yahweh by the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yeshua of the new and living way, Hebrews 10:19-20. For as many of you as have been baptized into the blood of the Yeshua have put on the Yeshua. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in the Yeshua by his blood. Okay. Verse 29. And if ye be along unto the Yeshua, then if you belong unto him by partaking of the blood for his redemption of your soul, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according unto the promise. This brings the end of our step. This hour, contact us at 11th hour. Call us number 11. Click on the audio archive. We're going to close it. This service now with a song.